Our scripture lesson today comes to us from Matthew, of course, chapter 1, starting in the 18th verse. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Of course, you know, it's time to tell the great story and relive it. Matthew chapter 18, I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 18. An angel appears to Joseph. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce, but quietly. After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. May God add his blessings to this passage as we seek him. Would you please join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, as we come to hear the word today, as we come to be strengthened and made ready for the week to come, let us dwell within you. Let us test this, let us hear it. Let us know that it comes directly from you, not from me. And let us know that the Word of God grows stronger every time we read it, pray for it, speak it. May it be in front of us in the week to come. May you strengthen us as we leave from here. In the name of Jesus and all of his children said, amen. Darkness. You say that word, people stop for a moment. Darkness. Darkness is the polar opposite to brightness. It is understood as a lack of illumination or an absence of visible light. Scientists have figured out that human vision is unable to distinguish color in conditions of either high brightness or darkness. In conditions with insufficient light level, color perception ranges from achromatic to ultimately black. Insufficient light levels, ultimately black. My wife found this yesterday. And as you well know, it is the start of my favorite time of the year for but one reason. Marley was dead to begin with. There is no doubt whatever about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, and the chief mourner. Scrooge signed it. And Scrooge's name was good upon change for anything he chose to put his hand on. Now, old Marley was as dead as a doornail. And I don't mean to say that I know of my own knowledge what there is particularly dead about a doornail. Now, I might have been inclined myself to regard a coffin nail as the deadest piece of ironmongery in the trade. But the wisdom of our ancestors is that in the simile, and my unhallowed hands shall not disturb it, or the country's done for. You will therefore permit me to repeat emphatically that Marley was as dead as a doornail. Darkness! Darkness has begun to befall. And yes, it is that time when I set my family into a tizzy because all I want to do is watch Christmas Carol movies. And there are a bunch of them, all the way back to Alistair Sims in 1935, which I have a copy of it. Clean up to when the Fonz, I bet you all don't know that one, did you? Henry Winkler starred in one called An American Christmas Carol. And Henry Winkler drove around in a Model T truck. And Henry Winkler owned a woodshop. And Henry Winkler was bad as Scrooge. And I advise you, if you have never seen it, lay your eyes upon it and watch it. In this day and age, I'm sure it ain't that hard to come by. An American Christmas Carol. And we watch them, and we love them. And I know the story, and I'm starting to read it again. And I'm starting to get jazzed up by the story of darkness. Darkness. There is nothing that can lead a mind to absolute destruction such as darkness. You know, in October, which just went by, darkness becomes a thing you play in. Dozens and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people all around the world want to go to haunted houses at night to get the knot scared out of them. They want to go into a dark room and have people jump out and go, blah, 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 blah. I go to haunted houses and I don't get scared. It's a waste of money for me. And I watch them things where those people are standing at the line. I don't want to go in there. I don't want to go in there. Let's leave. No, I want to go in there. And they go in there and the people jump out. Blah, 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 blah. So they pay to go in that darkness. We see darkness portrayed as where evil lives, and it is true. And I don't know if I ever told, maybe I have, but I'll echo it again. When you are in a place that is truly dark, that you cannot see, I'm not talking about with your eyes shut, because with your eyes shut right now, you can see light permeate the eyelids. When it is so dark that you can't see anything, I experienced it once with my lovely bride when we were young and childless and free and happy. I mean, and doing stuff. We went to the Crystal Grottoes. I don't know if I've told this story. And we went in because in all my life I wanted to go to the Crystal Grottoes. And there's steps that go down into the belly of that thing. And you go down the steps. And we had a tour guide. And I don't know what his name was. But he was amazing. Because as we walked down the steps, we're walking through rock that has been cut into steps. And our tour guide says, as we come to a low overhang, rock is very hard. If you hit your head on it, it will hurt. And I leaned over to Wendy and I said, and I tried to say it quietly, I wonder how many times he's hit his head on that. And I didn't say it quietly enough because the man turned around and he goes, I've hit it a lot. But we went down in that room and we get down in there and we're there for a while and they turn the lights off. And in that absence of light, it is so black you cannot see your hand in front of your face. And your mind starts to race and wonder. And sounds amplify and change. And if you're standing next to me down there in the darkness, you're standing next to what might be the most mischievous kid you've ever been around, because he might shout out something in the dark like, hey, don't touch me there. And when the light comes on, I can't find my wife. But it was so dark. And it has always been a part of my thought when I think about what darkness is, being in that room where you couldn't see anything. And how the mind can race. We start the run up to Christmas. And we remind ourselves of these words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Darkness. unable to see, unable to distinguish. One thing about darkness, it is truly scary. And I'm not talking about just the normal kind of scary. I'm talking about the truest form of what darkness is and scary. Not bedroom darkness where when you get up at 3:45 in the morning, you worry about what you're liable to walk over. A dog's toy that has been dropped. Because at 3:45 in the morning, I'm what you would call a good husband. Now, a lot of people don't realize that. I should probably get an award. And if you're wondering what to get me for Christmas as an award, I wear size tractor. But I get up in the morning and I don't turn the light on. 3:45, 10 minutes to 4, because I don't want to wake anybody. And I walk to the bathroom in the dark to prepare myself. And I'm always taking my life into my own hands. Because there could be a dog toy laying there for me to trip over. Or when I had younger children, Legos scattered along the rug. That when you step on them, they invent new ways of dancing. And the latest thing, and I'm sure my wife is trying to kill me to get the insurance money, because she places the clothes basket in various locations for me to trip over in the dark. And whenever I say, don't put the clothes basket there, she's always got the same response, walk around it. One of these mornings, I'm going to turn every light on in the house. Now, I'm talking about the darkness of being alone. I'm talking about the darkness that starts out a Christmas carol. The writer talks about, Charles Dickens explains that Scrooge loved the darkness. He explains it very clearly. He says, up Scrooge went, not caring a button for that. Darkness is cheap, and Scrooge liked it. Darkness is cheap, but Scrooge liked it. And in describing him, it lays out a man who's so cold and so in love with the darkness that surrounds him that nothing can penetrate it. But the wick ignites. The world today is how it was then. War, pain, abomination, destruction, all things that bring on darkness. I love the scene in the greatest story ever told when Max von Sydow, who is playing Jesus, and I'm telling you, the face that Max has, that the look, the sad eyes, the hurt, in that scene when Jesus is now 30 years old, he stands in a shadow in the darkness and watches everything going on around him. Have you ever seen that movie? Have you ever taken note of that scene? I believe it to be the same. That the darkness persuades us to do things we normally wouldn't do. And when we get lost in the darkness, we start to see ourselves making the choices that we wouldn't normally make. From the leadership books in 1989, an excerpt says, the captain of the Titanic refused to believe that the ship was in trouble until water was ankle deep in the mailroom. And only then did he realize that it was apparent that the multi-layered ship, the hull had been pierced and was going to sink. Ships that could have arrived before the great ocean liner went down were not summoned until the mailroom went dark and it was too late. We put ourselves into a world of darkness. And sometimes I have to ask myself, why? With everything that goes on around us, why do people delight, live, want, desire to be in that world? It is because they are scared and they don't understand what the light represents. And they wait for that wick to ignite. Go back to your scripture for a moment. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of our love shown to us. This is the beginning of someone who will step down from lofty heights to die on that wretched tree. This is the beginning. This, the scripture writer has pulled out, is the moment that the wick ignites. I chose Matthew as opposed to Luke because I wanted to be seen by someone who had made a decision alone. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be with Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph is a man of righteousness, a man who is careful about what he does. He is thoughtful. He has desired to become married to Mary and has found that she is pregnant. And in a day and time that was, that meant her death. Pregnant without a husband meant you were going to be stoned to death. Life was cheap. Women were not regarded the way they are now. The birth of a child, when a woman's pregnant, as time has pressed on, when a woman becomes pregnant, it's a celebratory moment. I love watching it. I love seeing how people get around it, and a glow for a woman that is with child just lights up the room. When Wendy was pregnant, everywhere we went, they wanted to touch her belly. Never wanted to touch mine. And I wanted to be a part of it. So when they would touch her belly and ask her how she's doing with the pregnancy, I would always point at it and go, I did that. And my wife, who I love, would say, go over there and sit down. But Joseph, he thinks for a moment to himself, I can't bear this. I'm a righteous man. He doesn't ask what he should do. He makes up his mind in a moment of darkness, of fear, of sadness, and decides, I'll just quietly send her away. No problem. That's the thing to do. That's what God would have me do. And so he makes up his mind. I love the next verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. The wick is ignited. And nobody knows it. You think about that for a moment. I think about this passage all the time. What if the Lord came to me after my wife was found pregnant to be not by me and said, this is from God. This is from the Holy Spirit. This is something that I am doing to bring light into the world. The three hymns that we sang today had a hymn theme. Did anybody catch it? Light. Everything was about light. And so he considers taking her away, and the Lord comes to him. For me, that would be very challenging. And yet Joseph, being a righteous man and having his mind set, not maybe realizing what's about to happen, says, okay, I'll take her home and she will be my bride. She will be my wife. All to fulfill what the prophets have spoken about. When we think of Christmas, when we endeavor to look at Christmas, we hear the verses, we recite the verses, we get the little kids to do the Christmas play. But we don't consider them. And the weight and bearing that these moments have on our lives today. 5, 6, 7 verses right here in Matthew explaining to us what was coming. And the funny part of it is that today, that truth still holds for those who are lost to sin in darkness. Those passages can still ignite the wick that brings the light. We consider them a little further on where he took her home and was told, name him Jesus. Do you understand what kind of break in tradition that was? He was supposed to get a family name. Jewish tradition. Again, Joseph is being asked to consider and live through all this on faith because this is what God has told him. And so righteous as he was, perhaps maybe with doubt, he soldiered on and did what he was supposed to do. And the light begins. When I was researching his sermon, it got me kind of curious. I recently watched one of the Christmas Carol movies, and old Scrooge, when he goes up to his bedroom, walks in after he got scared by the door knocker and walks over to a candle, and he doesn't have any light in the room. And so in the movie, he, 1800s, he pulls out his Bic lighter and he clicks it a couple times and he lights the candle. No, he did not. He leaned up on the candle and struck a flint, a flint, a flint until it lit. Now, I have watched these candles get lit by a multitude of people. I've watched people come up there with matches and strike one, put it down, strike one, put it down, put it down. I've seen guys up there click, 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 click with the clicker and it didn't work. And so it got me curious. And I started to read up on the most unknown part of the candle, the wick. It's usually braided cotton. And I love the description of it, that holds the flame of an oil lamp or candle. A candle wick works by capillary action, conveying or wicking the fuel to the flame. When the liquid fuel, typically the melted candle wax, reaches the flame, it then vaporizes, combusts, and puts forth the light and heat within it. Woohoo! I love that. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Does that get it to you? When you think about Jesus Christ and what he had, he combusted. He brought forth the light and heat. The introduction of these wicks allows the flame to continue without extinguishing itself. Large diameter candles result in a higher burning flame. That's why big people like us have more light to shine. In birthday candles, the wick is a stub, but virtually all candles are treated with flame-resistant solutions in a process known as mordanting. Without mordanting, the wick could be destroyed by the flames and the flow of melted wax to the flame would cease. Mordanting! New word for you! Without Jesus Christ keeping us alive and keeping the flame within our hearts strong, without giving us the fuel we need, the flame would cease. Can you see the same? Now that we look at the Christmas as the wick igniting, it fascinates me. I love to watch a candle start up. You hold the flame against it, and you hold the flame against it, and it starts, and then it spits and sputters, and carries on for a couple seconds, and lights up. And truth be told, and I'm sorry, I know you all think of me as perfect and angelic in form. You can say amen to that. How comes nobody said that? On occasion, when I sit up here in the morning and I watch the kids come up and light the candles, I'm run with this overwhelming desire to blow it out. Just because it would make me laugh, and I know that I would get smacked by an entire bevy of people in this church. But when the candle comes to life, the light draws you in. When the wick ignites and the candlelight comes up, it brings you in. And suddenly there's a light in the darkness. Suddenly you can see. And the light saves us and keeps us from making bad decisions. Making decisions in the dark can come with regrettable consequences. Back in the days before electricity, a tight-fisted farmer's wife was talking with her sister, who noticed that her sister was getting ready to go out on a date and was carrying a lighted lantern out to meet her date. She said, "Well, when I," the older farmer's wife said, "went a-courting, I didn't spend any money on frivolity like a candle or a lighting. I went out in the dark." And her sister looked at her and said, "Yep, and look what you got." Light brings the darkness away. And candle power today is still the measurement for light power. today. I have a spotlight at home that I love. Because when I bought it, I had to have this spotlight. Because when I read the side of the box, the spotlight said, 1.5 million candle power light. Yeah, I want to be able to look at things on the moon. We get lights at work to put on our hard hats so that when we work at night, when the lines are down, we can see what's going on. And they are measured in candle power, otherwise known as lumens. How much candle power it produces. How many candles would it take to make the same amount of light to remove the darkness? When the wick ignites, it takes us away from a world of the unknown. It takes us away from a world of the sadness and brings us to a place where life is possible. When the wick was ignited, the angel was making the announcement that something was coming, that something beautiful was about to happen. And two souls had no clue. They simply knew that God was putting something for them to be done. When I was a kid, I don't know if they still have these things. When I was a kid, we had these toys called a Light Bright. Anybody remember the Light Bright? You put that thing up on a table. It came with 4 million little colored pegs, right? And you got a book with what colored peg you're supposed to put in. And you got a real black sheet of paper. And you put it in there, and you could punch out things like butterflies and birds and stuff like that. And they would light up, and everybody would ooh and ah. And what would you do? You'd pick the thing up off the table to go show your parents, and you would forget that it was plugged in, and you started walking in the next room. The plug would jerk, the thing would come out of your hand, and the light brights were all over the floor. That was big fun. And then you picked them up, and you laughed, ha, and you got another black piece of paper, and you kept bringing back the light. I think that's why we like to go out at night and look at Christmas lights. I am a big fan of Christmas lights. I love seeing them. I don't care how small. Down at my parents' house, just outside the town of Urbana, is one of them places that's got the whole yard, backyard, house, everything's lit up. They got decorations everywhere. You could pull up next to them, tune your radio to a certain channel, and they're playing Christmas music, and the lights light up. Blink, 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 blink. God rest ye merry gentlemen. And they do all this great stuff. And cars line up, and we sit there and look at it. And this house, in the middle of this housing development, is wonderful. And it's beautiful. And we sit, and we're taken away from the ugliness of the world for a moment. But the house next door, because this is the last house on the street, the house next door is the one I always like seeing. Because there's this big giant house with everything lit up all over it. And next door is a house with a sign and a couple little lights on a string pointed over there. And underneath are the word, ditto. He got the spirit, and he don't have to pay for it. When we go out and look, they remind us that the darkness is broken. Christmas lights take us to another place when we see them, to remind us of a single light burning in the darkness thousands of years ago that would bring us joy, the likes of which could never be measured. They also remind us of a single light that we thought would be snuffed out and 3 days later rose. They remind us of Jesus Christ. They remind us of how we feel when we come into the light. I don't know what day it is, said Scrooge. I don't know how long I've been among the spirits. I don't know anything. I'm quite a baby. Never mind. I don't care. I'd rather be a baby. Hello! Woohoo! Hello there! He checked his transports by the church's ringing. Out the lustiest peals he had ever heard. Clash, clang, hammer, ding, dong, bell. Bell, ding, clamor, slash, bang, crash. Oh, glorious, oh, glorious. Running to the window, he opened it and put out his head No fog, no mist. Clear, bright, jovial, stirring cold. Cold piping for the blood to chance to. Golden sunlight taking away the darkness. Heavenly sky, sweet fresh air, merry bells, oh glorious, glorious. What happens when the light comes to the darkness? "What's today?" cried Scrooge, looking down to a boy in Sunday clothes who perhaps had loitered to look about him. "Eh?" the boy returned with all his might and wonder. "What's today, my fine fellow?" said Scrooge. "Today," replied the boy. "Why, it's Christmas Day." "It's Christmas Day," said Scrooge to himself. "I haven't missed it. The spirit's done it. They've done it all in one night. They can do anything of life. Of course they can. Of course they can. Hello, my fine fellow." "Hello," returned the boy. "Do you know the Poulterers in the next street but one at the corner?" Scrooge inquired. "Oh, I should hope I did," replied the lad. "An intelligent boy," said Scrooge. "A remarkable boy. Do you know whether they've sold the prize turkey that was hanging up there? Not the little prize one, the big one." "Yeah, what? The one as big as me," returned the boy. "What a delightful boy. What a wonderful young man. It's a pleasure to talk to him." "Yes, my buck. It's hanging there now," replied the boy. "It is. Go and buy it." "Walk on," said the boy. "No, no, I'm in earnest. Go and buy it and tell them to bring it here. And I may give them directions where to take it. Come back with the man and I'll give you a shilling. Come back with him in less than 5 minutes and I'll give you half a crown." The boy was off like a shot. Scrooge danced about. The light in the darkness. The wick ignited and took away the pain and the destruction of a world. When we read these words in Matthew, we are reminded that the wick ignited, the light lit up, and the death and destruction of the world would be replaced forever until Jesus came back. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have taught us where true power lies. We thank you that you have given to us that which we can carry on, a simple light. Let us light that wick. Let us light that candle. Let us burn within ourselves the love of Jesus Christ so that those around us may know him, so that those around us may be strengthened by him, so that those around us may be carried on with that love and know him, and those that do not, may they inquire as to how to rid themselves of their own darkness. Father, we pray to you for peace on earth as we approach this glorious day. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen.